started here this morning. Let's turn to number 228. It's all sad to say my faith has found a resting place. 228. Watching all three and four sentences.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor plea. I trust the everlasting One, His word for me shall lead. I need no other argument, I need no other
preaching, from our fellowshipping together and praising you, that you would fill our hearts with happiness, with joy, and Lord, we'll walk away today being blessed and learn something from your word. Help us, Lord, to be attentive, Lord, to your word, and help us, Lord, to live your word, Lord, and we'll thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let's sing number... My song is. We'll sing one song and then we'll have some announcements. We'll sing number 40. From back toward the beginning of your hymnals, number 40. Let's sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. Alright, all three senses.
Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning within. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever
you all on the Lord's Day. A couple of announcements. Well, more than a couple of announcements. As you notice, Pastor's not here, so continue keeping Miranda and Pastor in prayer. And just a few birthdays. Last week was Luke's birthday. And speaking of Luke, for you ladies, you have a baby shower for Miss Emily back there. So you guys will all be going back to the Sunday school room in the back. And for you men, I'm not sure, but I think there's some food for you guys also. While the ladies are feasting in the back, men can feast on. I'm sure that you've got protein here. No vegetables, right?
All fish.
All right. So there'll be something here for the men. So while the ladies are fellowshipping in the back, the men can also fellowship here. And this coming Tuesday, Pastor's birthday. It's Pastor's birthday. And then Jake, you have an upcoming birthday over on the 30th. And then Justin, your birthday is also at the end of the month on the Thursday. You and Jake share the same birthday. And then we'd like to welcome our visitors. We have the Millar family from up north in Montana. I have no idea why you snowbirds don't come here during the winter rather than coming in the spring. You know, because last week we had Mike Petroco, Mike and Lisa Petroco, and they were visiting from South Dakota. But hey, whatever floats your boat. Most importantly, I pray that you guys have the opportunity to enjoy God's creation, and you'll see the differences between Oahu and Kona.
Yeah.
The contrast between the two places. And then Carmen's relatives. You know, when Carmen brings relatives, it's not one or two, it's a tribe. But we appreciate you all being with your with us on Sunday. So with that said, why don't you go ahead, stand up, and greet one another, shake one somebody's hand.
And my wife decided she would.
Pick up Psalm 262. When you see it, so far I guess it's all singing so good, but don't sing with it, I'm going to have you stand. Trust in Jesus, 262,
all right? Simply trust. Oh.
couple of places this morning. Start off with Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. In one hand, the other hand, get Mark chapter 9. Good to see a lot of visitors this morning. Always good to see some pretty good turnout. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to look at one verse, verse 13. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus speaking here, and he says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men." Let's look at Mark chapter 9, verse 50. Mark chapter 9, verse 50. "Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye be seasoned? Wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another." You've probably heard a lot about how consuming too much salt is bad for your health. You've probably heard where people say, don't put too much salt on your food, and salt or too much sodium can contribute to hypertension, high blood pressure. That is true. The Bible uses salt in different ways. In the Old Testament, they were supposed to include salt in part of their offerings. In fact, there was, in the Old Testament, a covenant of salt that they used. And so, in the Bible, when Jesus is talking about salt, he says, "Ye are the salt of the earth," in a positive light, positive context. Jesus mentioned that, or likened believers to many different things in the Bible. In one part, he said, "Ye are the light of the world." Other passages, he says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." Other passages, he says, "Ye are the sheep, and I am the shepherd." And we can understand why he would say those things, but why salt? Why is he likening believers, people, Christians, to salt? Because normally we think of salt in our modern time, especially when it comes to nutrition and diet. We've been told so many times about too much salt is bad, too much salt is bad. And so why would Jesus say we are salt? This little grain there. How are we like salt? That sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? Well, if you think about salt at this day and age, in the context, in the time when Jesus is teaching, salt was a lot more important and significant than it is today. And so I'm going to talk about some ways of how a Christian is like salt. Number one, in his value. Now you think, well, wait a minute, salt is not valuable. Salt is something that is so cheap and so inexpensive. How many ever got, maybe ate at some fast food place or at the food court of the mall or something, and you don't want to buy some $5 little bottle of water? So you say, can I just have a cup of ice so that I can go and get some water from the soda fountain, just some water? And they say, yeah, that'll be a dollar. We charge a dollar for a cup. A paper cup, a dollar for a cup of ice. I'm thinking, a dollar? You're charging, I just spent $15 buying this food, and you're charging me a dollar for this little paper cup of ice so I can go and get some water. But how many of you have ever asked, can I get some extra salt, you know, a McDonald's or something? And they'll throw in a whole handful of these little salt packets. Nobody has ever charged me extra for salt. Imagine somebody saying, we charge a dollar for extra salt. Nobody's ever done that. And you know why? Because salt is almost dirt cheap. I mean, you can go to Walmart or the grocery store and buy a whole container of salt for about a dollar. Salt is basically worthless. It is so cheap. Yet, it was not always like that. In fact, salt in the past was a highly precious commodity. Salt was actually used at one point in history as a form of currency. They used salt as money for the Roman soldiers. In fact, did you know that this word, salary, comes from the word salt? This right here, S-A-L, is salt in Latin and Spanish. So the word salary comes from the word salt because salt used to be so expensive, it was not readily available like it is today. They would use it as a form of currency. In Africa, in history, they actually used slabs of rock salt as coins. I mean, literally, salt was used as money. There were merchants, listen to this, merchants traded salt for gold, weight for weight. Can you imagine trading an ounce of salt for an ounce of gold? That's how expensive and valuable salt was in the past. And why? Why would somebody want salt? Just to flavor their food? I mean, if it costs that much, I'd rather just eat the food without salt on it. But there's a lot more to it than that, which we'll go into. Have you ever heard the phrase, somebody is worth their salt? Why would they use that phrase? Well, because of some of these things that I'm talking about right now. Because salt at one time was very, very valuable. And if you're saved, you have some value to you. A Christian is like salt in that sense, is that a Christian is valuable. You do have some value to you. You know, Jesus said in some parts of the Bible, he says, you know, you don't need to worry about tomorrow, about God feeding you and clothing you. Look at the sparrows. Look at the birds of the air. Does not your Father feed the sparrows? And he says, yet ye are more important than the sparrows. He said, you are much more valuable than the sparrows. The Pharisees at one point, they accused Jesus of breaking the law of Moses. They said, well, he healed a man on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, well, wait a minute. Which one of you, if you have a sheep and it falls into a ditch on the Sabbath, aren't you going to get him and rescue him out of that ditch, even if it falls on the Sabbath day? And then he said, how much more better is man? Why should I not heal a man on the Sabbath? Isn't he much more important and valuable than an animal? And he is, the Bible says. Now, the animal rights crowd, they don't like that. But that's what the Bible teaches. God gave man dominion over the earth. You have some value to God. Now, I understand there are some people who teach, go overboard in the extreme, and, oh, man is just so wonderful and so valuable, and God just, you meant so much to God that even if you were the only person, that God would have died for you because you're so valuable. And they put all the emphasis on man instead of God. I understand that. But you have to look at a proper balance and a proper perspective on this. Man does have some value to God. Jesus said that people are valuable. If you are saved, you have value to God. The Bible says you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God purchased you. The Bible talks about believers as being servants. And a lot of the parallelism in the Bible, it almost likens the believer and a Christian to kind of like a slave and a master relationship. And it says that we are servants to Christ. Did you know that the cost of a skilled slave back in history, somebody who was skilled like a blacksmith, in the year 1850, they were worth about $2,000 at that time. Our modern equivalent would be roughly $57,000 to purchase an individual as a slave. They were worth something. They were worth something. Why? Because they could work for somebody. They could make them money. They were a lifetime employee. The Bible says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. God purchased you. He bought you. And he paid the ultimate price, the price of the blood of his only son. That's worth more than all the money in the world. And God said, I'm going to purchase you with the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Do you know what the gifts were that he gave unto men? I'm not talking about here the gift of eternal life. Gifts,
yes.
Plural. He gave gifts unto men. In Ephesians chapter 4, he's talking about he gave people as gifts to the body of Christ. He said, and he gave some apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What are those? Those are people. And he gave those as gifts to the church, the body of Christ.
Right.
To edify, to teach, to preach, to do all of these things, to help the body of Christ, to build them up and teach them and help them to grow in the faith. Those were gifts. Those people are valuable to the body of Christ. And you say, well, you know, but those are people in full-time ministry, and I'm just, you know, I attend church and all of that, and God hasn't called me to do that, so I'm not really that valuable as a Christian. Yes, you are. You belong to the body of Christ. Is your eye valuable to your body? How much would you sell one of your eyes for? How much money, how about both of your eyes? Would you take $1 million for both of your eyes? There might be somebody foolish enough to do that, but most people, I mean, when you first think about it,
with all that money, sure.
But then if it comes down to, okay, here, let's go down to the operating table and we're going to pluck out your eyes. Here's a check. Are you ready? Yeah, you're going to have some second thoughts. Why? Because your eyes are very precious and valuable to you. Every part of your body is valuable. Your hands, your fingers, your feet, your everything is valuable because it's part of you. It's part of your body. It helps your body function. And the Bible says all members of the church, of the body of Christ, are important. They all have a purpose. And in the body of Christ, everybody, every Christian, should be contributed to the church, for the function of the church, for the body of Christ. Because everybody has a certain role. Everybody has a certain value. You are salt. You are salt. Salt, at one time, was very, very valuable. And maybe not valuable and monetarily speaking today as it was in the past, but still very, very beneficial and important, which I'm going to go through that a little bit more with some more details. Number two, the way a Christian is kind of like salt is his influence. His influence. How does salt influence things? Well, it adds flavor. You ever eaten a cracker with no salt? An unsalted cracker? You know the saltine crackers? Have you ever tried to eat an unsalted cracker? It tastes like cardboard. No flavor whatsoever. Popcorn with no salt or no butter on it, no flavor. It's like, you know, that styrofoam filler they use in the packages. I mean, it's like no flavor. Even meat, which does have some flavor, but without salt,
yeah.
It's really bland. Vegetables, yeah. Without salt. There's so many things that we take for granted that if we didn't have salt, they would just taste so bland. But you add just a little bit of salt. You don't have to, not much, just a little bit. And boy, it's a world of difference, isn't it? Boy, it adds, it's just the perfect touch. Salt, it's very influential. How many of you know what this word means? Or the etymology of it. We know what salad is. But do you know what that word comes from? Do you know what it literally means? The history of the word? Well, here's a clue. What did I tell you that word is? Salt. Salad literally means salted. Salted. And it comes from the ancient Roman practice of salting leaf vegetables. your life, just like salt, which has that influence on things that we eat, a positive influence, your life should have a positive influence, just like salt. A little salt goes a long way. You know, your influence goes a long way. Much more than you might think, your positive influence, if you're living for Christ, if you're living as a Christian. You know, you're influential sometimes when you don't even think so. You know, people are watching you. People are watching the good that you do and the bad that you do. They are watching you. My two little boys, oh my goodness, they are just watching me like, I can't believe some of the things that they come up with, and they remind me of things that I don't even remember. Well, Dad, remember when this, remember when you said this, remember when that, what, that you said this, or that TV program that we were watching, and why did this and that? And I'm thinking, what? You remember that? I mean, I thought you were half asleep. I mean, how can you remember that? My goodness. I better be careful about what I say and what I do in front of these guys, because they're just watching me like a hawk. I saw a sign or a bumper sticker or something years ago, and it said this. It asked a question. If your life is a movie, what is it rated? Good question. If your life is a movie, what is it rated? Rated G? Rated PG? PG-13? Rated R? Rated X? I hope not. Your life is like a movie. You know why? Because there are people watching you. You don't think so. You think, oh, well, you know, I'm going to work and I'm doing my thing, and I come to church, and I'm just kind of a nobody, and I sit in the back, and I go unnoticed, and people don't really talk to me, and I just, and that's how I like it. I'm not a social person. I just kind of, you know, just do my own thing and kind of hide, you know, in the crowd. And people are watching you.
Right.
And if you are a Christian, and if people know you're a Christian, they are watching you. Your kids are watching you. Your co-workers are watching you. Your relatives are watching you. People are watching you all the time. You say, well, I don't like that. It doesn't matter. I mean, I don't like it either sometimes. But that's just the reality of it. I remember when I was working a job, and, you know, they knew I was a Christian, and I had witnessed to a few people here and there, but I, you know, wasn't going overboard with it. And, you know, you're going to have to use wisdom. You feel people out, you make a few comments, you throw them some bait, you witness here and there, and some people they're interested and some people they're not. And if they're not, okay, well, I'll just leave them alone, give you your space. I'm not going to pressure you and just keep on badgering you with the gospel. If you don't want it, okay. You know that I offered it to you. You know I'm a Christian, and if you're interested, you can come and ask me about it. But, you know, I'm not going to just badger you every single day I see you. And one of my coworkers, we didn't really talk too much, you know. I mean, we're just kind of friendly, just an acquaintance, but, you know, not close friends or anything. And one morning, I'm off to the side just doing my thing at work, and she comes over and she says, Mike, she's a younger girl, you know, in her 20s, I guess. She said, I just found out my sister was diagnosed with cancer, and they gave her 6 months to live. I need some religion. She needed some help. She needed some spiritual help. Why did she come to me? She knew I was a Christian, that's why. And you know, there were other people there that had professed to be saved when I talked to them, but nobody else knew that they were saved, if they were saved. And she came to me. She said, she's crying. I need some help. I need some spiritual help. Why did she come to me? Because she had been watching me. Because I was a little bit of salt sprinkled in that place. I had a co-worker that I had worked with for years. He had quit and we went our separate ways, and I hadn't talked to him for years. And just out of the blue one day, he called me up and he said, you know, I'm sure you know my background and all of this, and I've had a drinking problem, and now I'm trying to get sober, and I'm going to this AA meeting in this program, and they emphasize this spiritual you know, call upon God or your higher power or whatever you want it to be, whatever your religion is, and they're emphasizing praying. And he said, I don't know how to pray, and you're the first one I thought of. So I decided to call you. Whoa, what an opportunity to witness to somebody. What? I thought, man, wow. That's really something to just really make me think, people are watching me. You know, after all these years, and this guy thinks of me? I mean, it's kind of an honor, but at the same time, it's like, man, this is, I better really take my testimony seriously. You know that? When I graduated from Bible college at the church, by the way, the church I was at the time I was there, was kind of known for being kind of rowdy with people, just, you know, it was down in the South, you know, how Southern culture is, a lot of the students there, and they're just very vocal and very emotional and expressive during the preaching and the singing, and they'll get up and, amen! Bless God, amen! Some of the guys, you could tell they kind of, I don't know, wanted some attention, and you could almost time your watch by it, like, okay, during this song, right at this verse, here it goes, here it goes, and then his competitor gets up and, you know. One of the pastors actually had to rebuke him in class one time. He said, you know what you guys are doing? You guys think that you're giving God the glory during all of this, and you know what? Right when God's about to get the glory in that song, and you go up and you steal the glory from God to yourself, and because you want the attention. You could have heard a pin drop in that. Because normally everybody's like, amen, amen, yeah, amen, amen, preach it. And it was just dead silent. For the Donovan. And I was not one of those guys. That's just not my personality. And I remember after graduation, one of the teenage boys in the youth group, who I had never even spoke to in 3 years, came up to me in the church service, after the church service, and shook my hand, and he said, Brother Krzywanski, you know my name? Brother Krzywanski, I just want to thank you for your quiet example. I almost fell off the pew. I thought, what? This kid had been watching me. Out of all the students there, out of all the, you know, church, it's like 500 members in the church. It's not a small church like this. And he had been watching me for 3 years be quiet. I thought, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was speechless. It was Brother Turner's son. Wow. A little bit of salt. Little bit of salt. You know, the Bible says, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. The same is known of him. Do you love God? Oh, yes, Brother Mike, of course I love God. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. All right. Is it known of you? Is it known of you? It should be, because the Bible says, if any man love God, the same is known of him. Of him. Is it known of you among your co-workers? Or do you just blend in with the crowd? Blend in with the world. Fit right in. It should be known of you. You should be salt. Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. Are you salt? You should be salt. You should be salt. You know, salt, other, in other ways, has a positive influence. Salt causes thirst. You ever eaten something very, very salty, and then all of a sudden, it feels like you just can't drink enough water? Oh, I... 3 glasses of water. 5 minutes later, I'm still thirsty. I need some more water. Why? Because you just ate something that was so salty. You ever Costco pizza? Yeah, that stuff, man. I mean, I try not to eat it, but once in a while when we're out running errands, and then I drop Hannah off to go do her shopping, and I'm running my errands, and then we don't have time for lunch, and I have to go to work or whatever, and she says, oh, I bought pizza. And I'm thinking, and there she's eating pizza with the boys. You want some? No. I really try to eat healthy, and are you sure? my stomach's growling. Yeah, give me a slice. And I'll give, that's good. Give me another one. And then I get home, I'm so thirsty. Why? Because that thing's just loaded with sodium, especially the toppings and stuff. Salt causes people to be thirsty. And sometimes the gospel, the Bible, causes people to be thirsty. Thirsty for the things of God. They want more of it. They want more of it. All right, here's another way that salt is, or a Christian is like salt. In his witness, go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, look at verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So in Matthew it said, ye are salt. In Mark it said, have salt in you. And then in Colossians it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Notice it's not all grace and it's not all salt. You have to have the right balance there.
Right.
It's like when you're cooking something, a recipe, and it calls for salt. You put too much salt, it's going to taste terrible. You don't put enough, and it's not going to taste good. So it has to be the right balance. You know what Jesus said to his disciples when he told them to go out and preach? He commissioned them, and he said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You think of a snake and a dove. Complete opposite. The snake will eat the dove. He said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You need to be wise. You have to be the right approach. But don't overdo it. There has to be a right balance there. I remember at work, I worked in a restaurant, by the way. And I remember at work one time, you know, they have what you call a side station where in the back you have the computer to punch in the orders and you know, you make different, you know, the coffee and tea and stuff like that. And it's a section in the back near the kitchen that's not visible to the customers. And a lot of times when people are working, they'll have a drink of a non-alcoholic. Well, I've seen some with a not supposed to. Got fired, actually, some of them. Sometimes people have a cup of coffee sitting on the shelf, water, a soft drink, iced tea, a little refreshment just to kind of sip on while they're working. And I remember one time somebody had a cup of coffee sitting up there, and as a joke, one of the co-workers dumped a whole bunch of salt in there. And everybody's like, and everybody wants to watch the reaction when the person comes and takes a drink. And so somebody comes, reaches for that cup of coffee, and he's been drinking it, you know, all day, and then all of a sudden just, who did this? And everybody's laughing, put a bunch of salt in it. You put too much salt, and it's going to ruin it.
Yeah.
You ever swallowed seawater, salt water in the ocean? What happens if you're stranded in a boat and you have any water? Do they advise you? Yeah, well, a whole ocean of water. And you're dehydrated. You don't have any water to drink, drinking water. Do they advise drinking the ocean water?
No,
they don't. What will happen if you do?
It's thirsty.
It'll dehydrate you. It'll kill you. Too much salt. Too much salt. When I was surfing, went under, came back up, got on my board, got held under for a long time, come up on my board, out of breath. First big breath of air I took, and a wave splashed, and I went and swallowed a whole mouthful of salt water, so much that it made me burp. That'll just make you want to puke.
Yeah.
Too much salt. Too much salt is a bad thing. You have too much salt. It says, have salt and grace. Not all grace, not all, oh, God loves you and God loves you just the way you are and you know, you don't have to change anything because God loves you and God loves everybody and God is love and God would never do anything to anybody because God says He's just love. He's just like a little Santa Claus and God just love, 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 grace, grace, grace. grace, 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 you're forgiven. And well, that's what a lot of people are preaching today. They're just preaching people right into hell. You have to have some salt there. God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God, the Bible says Jesus Christ died for our sins. A lot of people will say, oh, Jesus died for you and Jesus loves you and all of this, and they don't say, well, why he died for you? Right. And why you needed him to die for you? And why you need to repent? They leave that out. So they leave the salt out. It's all just grace, 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 grace. And then on the other hand, if it's all too much salt, if it's all just judgment, condemnation, bam, bam, well, that's too much salt too sometimes. And so that's why Jesus said, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Salt has preservation qualities. Salt has been the best known food preservative, especially for meat, for thousands of years. Before they had refrigeration, they would use salt to cure meats and to preserve them so they wouldn't spoil and go bad. Salt has been used as medicine. It's been used as an antiseptic for wounds, for a sore throat. Witnessing to people is kind of like seasoning with salt. Sometimes it does sting a little bit. You ever heard the phrase rubbing salt in somebody's wound? Yeah. Right? It's like adding insult to injury. You ever had something salty in your wound? It stings. It hurts. Well, sometimes when you witness to somebody, you do have to have a little bit of salt in order to bring about conviction on the person so that they'll see their need for the gospel. Right. Yeah. Some salt. And also some grace. Salt. Salt. It's like seasoning with salt. It doesn't always taste good. But, you know, did you know if you do not have salt, you will die?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Sodium serves a vital purpose in the human body. Its role is it acts as an electrolyte, which helps nerves and muscles to function correctly, and it is one factor involved in the regulation of water content in the body organs. That is why you have sports drinks like Gatorade that have salt and sodium in there. Because when you sweat so much, you need to replenish the salts and the electrolytes in your body. There are certain pets that if you go to a pet store and you have certain pets, they sell this little item of this of pure salt is what it is. It's called a salt lick. Because some animals, if they don't have enough salt in their diet, it's detrimental to their health. They need salt. People need salt. If you don't have enough salt, you will literally die. Your blood pressure drops too low and your heart stops beating. Does that mean you should eat more salt? No, it doesn't mean that. You know why? Because most Americans with our modern diet, we already consume too much salt because of all the preservatives and things that they put in most of our foods. But if you did not have any salt whatsoever, you would eventually die. You need salt. You need salt. And people need the gospel. They will die spiritually, eternally. They will die without salt. It is detrimental to their spiritual health if they don't have salt. And the Bible says, let your speech be seasoned with salt. Salt. You are the salt of the world. They use salt in de-icing highways. Salt will normally make ice melt, and it lowers the freezing point of water. So if there is water on the road, it causes a much lower temperature than the 32 degree Fahrenheit. It needs to drop lower than that before it freezes if it's mixed with salt. And there have been many people who have died because they were driving on a road that was frozen. They call it black ice. It's not really black. It's just that it's transparent and it looks like the black asphalt. In fact, I remember one of my trips, I was in one of my storm chasing trips. I was in New Mexico and a cold front had came through and I had no idea that there was ice on the road. There was no snow anywhere. And it was cold, but it didn't seem that cold. You know, the climate, it's dry over there. So even when it's cold, sometimes it doesn't feel like Florida cold. And I started driving. Luckily, it was just in the middle of nowhere. It's a 2-lane highway with no traffic. And I started driving, and all of a sudden, I just hit this patch of ice that I didn't know was there. And I just spun out of control, and I ended up off the road, on the side of the road, facing the oncoming lane. If there was traffic, I could have been killed. I couldn't believe it happened. And I was just completely at the mercy of the car and the road and everything, because I had no control over that. I remember seeing a video somewhere on the mainland. The road is ice. Nobody knows. They're going full speed on this interstate. And so it's this overpass. And there's this guy who's off the side of the road, and he's recording it. And he's seeing these cars hit this patch of ice and spinning out of control and crashing and flying off of the side of the overpass. And it's at night, so nobody who's approaching this can see the danger ahead. And he's in his mind, and he's watching this, and he's yelling, and he's screaming, and he's pleading for these people to stop, to not go, because he knows the inevitable, and there's nothing he can do from the distance. And he's screaming, and almost as if the people can hear him. He's saying, "No, please stop, stop, no, no." And he knows they can't hear him, but he's overcome with emotion. And he's seen car after car after car going 55 miles, 65, 70 miles an hour, going at night, and not knowing the danger ahead, hitting this patch of ice, spinning out of control, crashing, people dying, flying off of this overpass. And he's just watching this, and he's just screaming and pleading for people not to hit that ice. If there was somebody had known about that, and they had iced the highway, could have prevented a lot of deaths and tragedies. The Bible says we are salt. Salt. Salt preserves. Salt protects people. Salt can save people's lives spiritually. And my last point is salt. A Christian is like salt, sometimes, ironically, in his ineffectiveness. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Go to Matthew chapter 5. You see, I just told you all these great, wonderful things about how salt is so necessary and beneficial, and at one point was very valuable. And now, there's a twist in things. How can salt and Christians be ineffective? Well, let's look at our opening text in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Look what Jesus said about salt. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." How does that happen? In Eastern countries, back in history, salt, a lot of the salt that they used was impure. If salt comes into contact with too much dirt or rain, it loses its saltiness. And what they would do when they had impure salt, they found out, well, we can't just throw it on the ground. It kills the plants and it prevents things from growing. They would just cast it into the street. It was no good. It was worthless. It was not valuable. A Christian can become useless. He can lose his flavor. I didn't say he loses his salvation. He can lose his flavor sometimes if he has too much impurities, if he's tainted by the world, if he gets dirty, like dirty salt, has too many impurities from the world, dirt, rain, things like that. The Bible says, you're in the world, you're not supposed to be of the world. And God wants a clean vessel. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll close with this. God wants clean salt, so it'll be effective. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 27, excuse me, Paul is talking about his ministry, and he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul is saying, I make sure that I live a clean, separated life because I don't want to appear as a hypocrite. I don't want to give them the excuse to reject my gospel witness. And then God won't be able to use me and I'll be like a castaway. God will just set me on the shelf and say, God, Paul, I can't use you anymore. Or people will not listen to me. People will not accept my witness and my ministry. And people will just, no, I'm not going to listen to that guy. I'm not going to listen to what he teaches. Not because they simply don't like his message and they're rejecting the gospel, but because he didn't keep his body under subjection. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Paul did not want to lose his flavor, his saltiness. He wanted to be pure salt so that he could be the salt of the world and be an effective minister to Christ. So I've given you some things about how a Christian is like salt. And I guess I'm out of practice. I haven't been preaching that long enough. And my voice got unconditioned a little bit there, or just getting a little too loud there. But anyway, you should be like salt. Be like salt. In a good way, just like the Bible says. Let's pray. Lord, thank you once again for the Word of God. Thank you for these analogies and these lessons that you've given us in the Bible about how a Christian should be like salt. I pray that we would seek to be the Christians that you've called us to be, that we would not lose our flavor, that we would be salt in all of these different aspects that we looked at this morning, that we would be the salt of the world, that people would see that we are salt, that we do make a difference, that we have our speech seasoned with salt, that we can provide what people need for their spiritual health. I pray that we would continue to live a clean, separated life so that we would always have the impact that you want us to have as followers of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.